Hello, this is Spirituality for Today. It's been a while. I'm James Bamfield, and this podcast is all about the crossing. That's a large-scale event, journey, magical experience that Mark Gaffney and myself are creating for next year, 2024. It's a way of bringing the worlds of personal transformation and social awareness, social engagement, all together in one enchanted hall, one single experience, which we really hope will help shift the general culture in the direction it needs to go. The event is the 25th to 28th of April, 2024, and you can find all the information on thecrossing.be. Enjoy the podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Laura. Normally you hear me in Dutch, maar vandaag ga ik het in het Engels doen met James. James Bamfield. He's a good friend of mine, and I met him how many years ago? 6 years ago? Seven?
Hey, meer, hey. I think.
Meer, wow. Okay. Well, James is a Brit, but he lives in Belgium, and his mother tongue is English, so we're going to talk in English. And I'm very proud to speak with him because he is, well, in my opinion, a very interesting guy that not just talks a lot and works a lot in the spiritual world, but also makes it very practical. And that's what I like in my own life, but also in collaboration with people that I work with, how to make spirituality and idealism practical. So we're going to talk about that today because you're going to talk about a very interesting event that is coming up, the crossing. Let's start. Do you want to introduce yourself a little bit first?
Yeah, and also the us bit. So yeah, we haven't known each other for several years and we met at an event and we've always found a lot in common. And you've also played an important part in my website, Spirituality for Today, which is really important.
Yes.
Without you, I'm not even sure that would have happened. So I'm very grateful for our history.
Yes.
I think that's quite a good description. I mean, I have a strong, if you like, conceptual philosophical side to me.
Yes.
But I am a pragmatist at heart.
Yeah.
So I do want to bring things sufficiently down to earth.
Yes. So what is, just to give some examples, how can people work with you? What would they learn or what is your offering at the moment?
Well, do you mean the form of what I offer? I mean, I work with teams and organizations.
Right. Yeah.
But I also do a lot of open programs in leadership and self-development. I lead these things called councils where I bring people from different organizations together in circles to learn from each other.
So politicians, right?
I have several ones for CEOs of different companies, and I have one for politicians, and we're going to start a new one.
Yeah.
In fact, it was always the hope to start one in Nederland, but we haven't managed it yet. Yeah. I have one for mayors, burgemeesters.
Yeah.
And that's all part of Organization of the Future, which is another collaboration that I'm part of.
And what would be, I'm interested to just, as a follow-up question, why would people join that group? What would they get out of it as Organizations of the Future?
Oh, organize it. Well, that's a kind of movement. Okay. So that's for any organizational people, mostly, but not only in the profit world, in the commercial world, who want to be some part of something that is bigger and more meaningful than simply their own organization, their own tribe. I mean, it is to help their tribe, definitely, especially on the cultural side, but it's also wanting to be part of something bigger, that can have a more sort of socially directed mission.
Right. Yeah.
Well, for example, the last couple of years I've been going to Kenya. I want to start a council there because I know a Belgian guy who has a for social ondernemers in Kenya stroke Africa. And it's really cool. These are people who are really, you know, bringing electricity to villages who have no power or internet or, you know, I love to help people who, whether it's business or nonprofit, I don't mind, but who have a clear sort of mission.
Yeah. And just more than the getting their own profits up.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Like
exactly.
A mission.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not like I'm big anti-capitalist or anything. Well, I mean, I'd be quite happy if, you know, capitalism evolved a bit faster and a bit more radically, but...
Yeah. You're not against it, but it needs some upgrade, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And a couple of years ago, I interviewed you for your own podcast, Spirituality Today, and we talked about kind of the important topics in your theory, your personal theory, which is growing up, showing up, and waking up, or waking up, growing up, and showing up. And I think it would be interesting to dive into that a little bit and then connect that to your event.
Good.
Because we talked about your event a couple of weeks ago. And what I think is very interesting is that festivals are very popular right now, both just people having a party, you know, Tomorrowland or whatever, but also in the spiritual world, people wanting to have a deeper experience of connection and bliss and really enjoying the group atmosphere of that. Mm. But somehow often it just is a very nice experience and then you come home and then you have a beautiful memory, right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, you know, I'm a big festival goer, always have been.
We also have been together.
We have, and I love it. But I often think, oh my God, it could be so much more.
Right.
When you think the amount of people and the energy that gets harnessed there, my God, how that could be used. So the Crossing is not a festival as such, because it's not like most festivals have a supermarket form,
right,
where you pick and choose what you want to do. So in a way, you stay very much in control yourself.
Yeah.
With the Crossing, it has festival aspects, especially aesthetically, the experience, all the little touches, the sort of Tomorrowland type touches, a bit of the Burning Man craziness, wildness, if you like. Yeah. And principledness of Burning Man.
Yeah.
But we are taking the group of people through a specific, all of them.
Yeah.
We're hoping for 300 to 400 people, taking them through a very particular process, which is this crossing that we call from Homo sapiens to Homo amor, that we think the human race needs to make.
Tell me more. What do you mean by that?
Well, so the way, and I'll come back to the growing up, waking up, showing up.
Yes.
So let me just feel into it, see what, you know, every time I say it, I hope and sort of trust some little news, little slant. I never want to get stuck in one elevator pitch. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly, yeah.
So to use the words of, you know, my colleague in the Crossing, Mark Gaffney, whom we both know. You know, the world is full of outrageous pain, and the only answer is outrageous love. So in a way, that does encapsulate it. So in the Crossing, we really want people to confront, it's not just a feel-good thing, like Tomorrowland.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Tomorrowland does a lot of other cool, very cool social things, by the way. I just want to put in a word there. But the actual festival, what it's famous for, the emphasis is very much on the feel good. So it's not just a feel good. We believe Homo amor, this sort of new, that's the sort of human being, Verbund Null.
Yeah.
needs to really face the problems in the world head on.
Exactly.
Not go into denial, not go into a sort of feeble place of, well, I see it, but what can I do?
Yeah.
You know, the sort of, well, somewhere, someone somewhere will try and will solve those problems, but it's not going to be me.
Right. Yeah.
We want to be confronted, but on the other hand, we don't want then our life just to become dark and miserable and fate and sort of, you know, you hear about all these things like climate anxiety and,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's not where we want to go. Part of
overwhelm. Yeah.
Yeah. Part of the response is I'm going to go for joy.
Right.
But not through denying what's going on. And so there's this other expression that Marx used, which I love, which is pleasure as protest.
Mm.
Which is a great expression. Pleasure as protest. God damn it.
Yeah.
I am going to look at it in the eye, the problems, but I'm not. That doesn't mean I'm going to stop living life to the full and celebrating the beauty of life.
Yeah.
You know, that's the sort of waking up part. You know, no matter how much shit is going on in the world, and God knows it feels like a lot. Of course, that's partly what the media chooses to present. I get all that. But, you know, there are some problems around.
Yeah, no denying.
So all this shit is going on, and yet what you find out from the waking up perspective, and the waking up is the Eastern Enlightenment. That's the core of all Eastern meditation practice, spiritual methodologies, Buddhism, Advaita, Kashmir Shaivism, all these sort of Eastern paths, that sort of radiant, divine sort of source of everything. If you like it, which I think is behind all the organized religions as well, actually, is, you know, both exist. There is all this shit and pain and suffering. And yet, for me and most of the people I know, in our deepest spiritual experiences, we know the essential goodness of being.
Yeah.
This unbelievable beauty.
Yeah.
So how can we have a worldview and an identity that includes both of those, which is why the waking up stuff is so important. Because, of course, if you've had an experience of sort of divine bliss or whatever you want to call it, you can't look at the problems in the world in exactly the same way. It's like I often give the example, you know, if we go into something, some contemporary debate like the trans debate or identity politics or gender identity, all those very important topics which we are growing up in.
Yeah.
That's part of our growing up work, is to grow up so that we're not racist. It's to grow up so we're not sexist. Do you see what I mean? That's the growing up world, the psychological maturity. But I often think, and actually I talked to a trans person about this and she completely agreed.
You're talking about transgender, right?
Transgender, yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, she's a woman, but it's transgender woman. Yeah. And she's a big meditator. And of course, if you meditate thoroughly and really go into many of the Buddhist techniques and so on, you know, you find a place where you are beyond your separate identity.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman, or something in between, or all the other things on the gender spectrum, because you felt what it's like to be
human
being. Whole.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? And then that whole debate has a slightly different feel to it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's the same with the racial stuff.
Yeah.
If you've had this feeling of being the sort of cosmic all stroke nobody.
Yeah. Not even a human being.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then it's very different. You have a very different perspective when it comes back to seeing yourself as white, black.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? So that's why the waking stuff, partly why it's so important.
Yeah.
Gives us a very different.
Yeah. But it's not enough, right?
Just what?
It's not enough. Just
no, feel it's not. Bliss,
because that's usually what you get at a festival or a retreat, that you feel like, oh, everything is love.
And exactly. Then- it's not enough, because that's, you know, to use the Ken Wilber language, that's confusing states with stages. So you can have a blissful state.
Yes.
Do you know what? I've given about how many thousand workshops in my life. It's not that difficult. To give people a beautiful state feeling.
Like an injection.
I'm one with the world. I love everybody.
Yeah.
You know, you don't even have to take a pill. There's a lot of ways you could.
Yeah, exactly.
Do that.
Ecstasy, yeah.
But that doesn't mean you necessarily grow up.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? So then you get the crazy thing of, I'll never forget going to see, I don't know if she's still alive, but about 20 years ago, everyone was going to see Mother Mira. Did you ever hear about her?
No.
Mother Mira lived in Germany, and she was this Indian woman who had had an enlightenment experience.
Yeah.
And she would do darshan every day. Mm. I mean, there'd be 100 people there. And she would, you had the chance, there was a meditation, and then you could go and sit in front of her.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And she gave a little blessing. And honest to God, you look into her eyes and you think, wow, you know, I'm with the divine whatever.
Instant,
I mean, it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. And then it turned out later there was a bit of a sort of scandal, not remotely doing with her. I mean, she's like a sort of saint, but she had a problem with the guy who promoted her, who was her assistant, mm-hmm. who was also quite well known, called Andrew Harvey. And she didn't like the fact that he was gay.
Mm. Oh, right. Oh, that's horrible. Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? Yeah. So you can have this blissful state.
Yeah.
Almost permanently, I think, for Mother Mira.
Yeah.
But she still sees the world from this old sort of Hindu or whatever it is perspective. And so she, in that place, she was not grown up.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? That's why... she'd woken up to all sorts of dimensions we can hardly contemplate, but she hadn't grown up.
Yeah. And that's also what we talked about in your podcast about gurus or the church, you know, who give kind of portals to the divine. But at the same time, there can be awful human beings that are abusive or have all kinds of shadow sides.
Right.
So how does this relate to your event?
Okay, good. So there's a growing up part to the event, a waking up and a showing up.
Okay, yes.
So in a way, that's what we're saying is homo amor is somebody who commits themselves to growing up, waking up, and showing up.
All three of them, yes.
And so we'll be doing, you know, there are three questions we'll be answering. Who am I? Where am I and what is mine to do for 3 days? And part of the who am I is my, what we call historical self. So that's Laura or James with your individual biography and all the traumas and the beauty and the gifts of your history that have led to you, Laura, now, and which you've worked with a lot. I mean, we know each other in that sense. And so there's a whole growing up process through that historical, psychological self, if you like.
Yeah.
Maybe we could call that the horizontal line. But then there's the vertical line, which is the waking up. At any point in your story, you can actually sort of transcend the story and suddenly realize, oh my God, but I'm also God. I'm also the whole. I'm also, I'm not actually limited to my individual story. I'm not even limited to my social biography as a Dutch person, as a white person, as a woman. Of course, that's important. But the waking up, the vertical line, is what shows us, yeah, that's just one side of our reality. There's this whole spiritual realm.
And does the event, retreat / festival, offer that experience, the waking up?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, unfortunately, one can't guarantee that.
No. Like,
you get a refund if you didn't feel like you were God.
The red pill, yeah.
But so we must be careful about too. But yes, there will. And in fact, the fact this a big part of the crossing, its beauty is that it is large scale. And I've really worked with groups of all sizes, and it's just no doubt in my mind that when the larger the group, the deeper the collective field.
Exactly.
And the deeper the chance for transformation. That's why for the crossing, it doesn't really matter if you're new to it or relatively new or really experienced, because that size of collective has a very different feel. When you do the breathing exercise with 300 people, it's very different.
Yeah.
Or singing or meditating.
The power of the field somehow. It sounds
great. Yeah, exactly.
But it's very powerful. Yeah,
it is. And I think the other, so there'll be some, we're bringing some technology of both growing up and waking up. And then the showing up, and I think this is what also separates it from other spiritual events and possibly more entertainment events, is like Tomorrowland, is the, we expect Homo and More, it'll end with a sort of initiation ceremony into Homo and More, where you do commit to a kind of social engagement where you not, and that can be on a small scale, it can be on a huge scale. It's saying, yeah, I do want to be in service of the whole.
Mm.
In some way. And the whole means beyond me and my immediate family and my immediate tribe.
Yeah.
Because most of us do that already.
Yeah.
Certainly me and family.
Yeah.
And most people have a broader tribe than just their family.
But I want to be a better partner. I want to be a better mother.
Right. And all of that's important. Yeah. It's not saying that that's, but it need to get to Homo and More and save the world. We need to go further than that. It's got to go further than our kids.
Yeah. Mm.
And that can manifest in many different ways. So one of our sort of pieces of language is that in everyone is a hero. Another expression Mark likes to play with is the democratization of heroism.
Right. It's not just Batman and Superman.
You see, all this fascination with Marvel, Superman, and Batman, and Spider-Man, it's all a metaphor that we all have superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I mean? Not meaning that we're going to start, you know, sort of floating across the sky or whatever. It's a metaphor, but we do have superpowers.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a big part of the message.
Yeah. And I think this is linked to what I also like to use in my work, your zone of genius. So what are your unique qualities, or unique self, as Mark Gaffney calls it, that makes you stand out from other people, not by working hard or doing your best, but kind of what comes naturally to you? How can you make that of use to a larger audience?
That's spot on. That's really exactly what it's pointing to. But it is, it's true. I mean, that you don't have to work hard in the sense that it is a natural expression of our uniqueness if we can unclutter ourselves.
Yeah.
But I do think there is often a risk, what Mark calls the unique risk.
Mm.
So it's not, there's still often a kind of sacrifice one needs to make.
Yeah.
So part of my unique risk is this, doing this crossing.
Yes.
It scares me shitless.
Yeah.
Oh my God, how am I going to get all these people? How am I going to manage this thing? Yeah. How am I going to, you know, it's really taking me out of my comfort zone.
Yes.
Give me a group of people, 10, 20 people, home territory.
Yeah.
I can do that, not in my sleep, but that's easy for me. But yeah. To organize something like this and invest all the time, the money, the risk, yeah.
James, why do you feel like you want to take this risk? Why do you feel like it's yours to do?
Well, when Mark suggested it, I had a very strong yes straight away. And he'd suggested quite a few other things, which I'd said no to. Mm. But this felt right. And for me, it is the wanting to be part of something bigger. Mm. And I think the crossing has the potential to really spread,
right?
To really bring a sort of new cultural meme,
yeah.
Language stroke experience, where yeah. We can reach a lot more people. I think reach is important. And mostly my work so far has been with small, very intense, over long periods of time with small groups of people.
Yeah. It also sounds like there is kind of a momentum for it now because there's so much shit going on in the world. People really want to play their part in it, but they don't know how. They get overwhelmed by the amount of pain and outrage.
Exactly.
And this is a combination of what you said, what you're saying, looking it in the eye, but also finding pleasure and joy to work with it and make it of use into kind of a movement.
Yeah. Right. Well, one of the reasons, of course, is, I mean, there's always been horror around, but we're made more aware of it.
Yes.
And I think the horror that's around, some of the horror that's around, which is not always the most obvious horror, is potentially very, very destructive in a way which, you know, Attila the Hun, however horrible he was not, he couldn't really make an impression on the whole world. But things like climate, AI, nuclear war, pandemics, you know, they can have pretty big consequences because the world is so much more connected now. I do think the stakes are higher.
The stakes are high, yeah.
I don't think the horror is any worse. In fact, in some ways, it's got better.
We've got better horror.
we got slightly less horrible horror. Of course, it doesn't feel that to the people. But there's so many good things.
Yeah. And we're aware of the good things. Yeah.
You know, just the very fact that we're so outraged by things.
Yes.
When you think it was completely normal.
Yeah.
A few hundred years ago for your Sunday entertainment with your kids to go to the market square and watch someone being hanged.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that
it's an improvement, I would say.
I would say it's an improvement. Yeah. It's an improvement. So.
Yeah. Right. Well, and you're mentioning Mark Goffney quite a lot. Could you briefly introduce him? Because you're organizing this together, right?
Yes, it's a partnership. I mean, he's a spiritual teacher. He's a philosopher. Ex-rabbi, so he comes out of the Judaic Kabbalistic tradition. He's actually one of the experts worldwide. Mm-hmm. I witnessed a conversation between him last summer at his house in Vermont in the US. I witnessed a long conversation between him and the top American scholar on Judaism from Harvard. Who in that world is famous. And it was fascinating watching the two of them.
Right.
And they both can quote every single text that's ever existed.
Yeah.
And it was, I don't know if you know, but in the Jewish tradition, they love robust debate.
Right, you know? Yeah.
And it was fascinating. So he is a genuine expert, both philosophically and genuinely spiritually in his being.
But he also connects a lot of
Yes, and he's very good at connecting science, sociology, psychology, psychotherapy,
like meaning, yeah,
all the different religions. He's a, you know, he's a meta-theorist, as they call it. Right. And Marx had a huge impact on me, in the sense he's inspired me to think and act bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the crossing.
Yeah.
That's one side. And I think his emphasis on love.
Yeah.
I think the emphasis before in my spiritual upbringing has been a bit more on wisdom.
Right. Yeah.
Than love.
Yeah.
You know, we obviously need both.
Yeah.
So those are the two things I think he's had a lot of effect. And I think I bring something else to the table.
What is your specific?
Well, I bring the sort of technology.
Mm.
It brings the framing,
yeah,
the conceptual side. I bring the technology, the exercises, the embodiment.
The how to.
The how.
Yeah.
That said, you know, I have a bit of his. I have a strong philosophical side.
Yeah.
Not in his league. He also, you know, has a facilitator side, but it's not, you know, that's been the center of my professional life and for many years now.
Yeah. I've been to a couple of his events as well. And what really stayed with me from that is that he, that's also what I've been practicing last years in Tantra, is that he uses the concept of love and pleasure and eros, but doesn't just talk about it within the realm of sexuality, but more as life force energy and your unique energy as a human being and how you can be of service. So it feels like a little bit similar to my experience with, for instance, psilocybin or MDMA. It really opened up my world to see, oh, I'm part of a larger whole of I'm not just an individual. I'm more than that. And it's the experience that I got within those events, but also in thinking about my place in the whole.
Right. So that's a kind of waking up experience.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's, you know, Mark brought words.
Yeah.
Something I've been exploring all my life, the erotic.
Yeah.
Which is not confined to the sexual.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, life just is erotic. You know, just feeling the sun on your skin can be erotic. Just seeing somebody smile.
Yeah.
Erotic means you get turned on.
Yeah.
But that doesn't, we've reduced turn on to our genitals.
Yes.
But you can get turned on. You can get lit up.
Exactly. Excited, inspired. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. And if you go really deep into the Eastern waking up. So I just recently did a week sitting retreat where just all day you sit in meditation.
Yeah, like Vipassana, right?
It wasn't Vipassana, but it's
similar.
Same sort of direction.
Yeah.
And, you know, eventually simply being alive feels erotic.
Yeah.
Just
sitting.
You don't even need a beautiful view or a beautiful sound, an external trigger. Just that being alive in this body is erotic. In the sense that it is a turn on, it's juicy, it's So that is a very important part of the crossing, is this sort of erotic side of life. So Homo Amor is a channel for the erotic.
Yeah.
But of course it's always tricky using that word because then people immediately think sexual, and it does include the sexual, no doubt.
It's part of it, And I can imagine, you know, two white guys, you know, sharing that narrative, people can just project all kinds of story on that. But that's, I think that's important.
Sure, especially white guys like me. Yes.
Yeah.
But It's true. I know, you know, in some ways it would be much better, but it's, I do think about that, the two white guys out there up on the stage, and I'm very aware of that. I don't know. It's also, I don't want to get stuck in a sort of too rigid a view of how things should be, but this is also how it has unraveled, this particular story. And hopefully one day when we expand, we're going to have men much more diversity on the podium. That's the goal.
Yes, exactly. Well, I think it's important just to mention it, because then it's not just the pink elephant in the room. Well, I know you and I know Mark, and I feel it's so important that we have a new narrative in this world, because we're so confused and we don't have the church anymore to guide us. And I feel that you bring a very important, very relevant and kind of connected, transcendent.
But that's the point. You see, if I can say, I also, and this might sound strange, I want the crossing to bring some order to the modern spiritual world. When I say modern spiritual, I mean people like you and me, that whole group of people, which is a very growing market, demographic of people who, you know, basically say, well, I'm spiritual, or I want to be spiritual, but I'm not religious.
Right.
You know, that's in developed countries, that's a very fast growing demographic, and which I've been part of since I was 16 years old, really.
Yeah.
40 years. And, you know, it's become a supermarket.
Yeah.
People just go from one experience to the other.
Yeah.
Okay, this weekend's ayahuasca.
Yeah.
This weekend is a bit of trauma work.
Yeah.
The weekend after that is Tantra. Well, basically everything falls under Tantra. If in doubt, call it Tantra. And you see, the other thing we've lost is, in a way, the official teacher-student relationship. And if you look at me, I've had spiritual teachers very strongly in my life for many years. But for whatever reasons, I feel my destiny is no longer to be a student, but I don't want to be an official spiritual teacher either.
Right.
I can see that we do need to evolve out of that teacher-student. But it had some real benefits. It brought order. It stopped it being a supermarket. So now,
you committed to one teacher for a period of time.
Yeah, you committed to a path, and that teacher said, I'm going to take you from A to B. Now, you can say we can do it ourselves and be a light unto yourself, Buddha's thing, but he still had a Sangha where he was the teacher. So, of course, you have to do it yourself. But somehow, and part of that is there's no narrative. You know, the narrative is kind of, well, get into your feelings more, access your intuition more, get into your body more, be more conscious. That's not a story.
No.
That's not a narrative. Those are just tips.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? So the crossing, and that's what Mark's very good at, is bringing a real story. Where are we in the evolution of the human species?
Exactly.
We're not just at the place, well, partly where humans start thinking, oh, I should be in my body more. I mean, but that's part of something bigger.
It's much bigger,
And that's what we want to bring. And that's also why we don't want to call it a festival, because festival is also a sort of supermarket system. And the trouble with the supermarket system is that you can't join all the dots and you stay in control. And that's not always helpful. Of course, the shadow side of surrendering is abuse by the person or group you surrender to. We know all that. We know all that.
Yeah.
But there's also something very positive in surrender. So basically, Osho, my first teacher, he would say, basically, you don't know shit. I know a lot more, so you just get rid of all of your ideas and listen to me. That was the subtext. And it kind of worked, you know. That's why he said he was, I'll never forget the interviewer, because he was a very funny, smart guy. He wasn't All India debating champion for nothing. But they said, you know, you're accused of brainwashing people. Is this true? And he said, of course it's true. Their brains need washing. He had a point. Yeah. But anyway, I don't want to, that's not my sort of paradigm.
No.
Anymore.
There's so benefits, because then you can actually, why what is the benefit in your opinion of surrendering yourself?
Because it gives a chance for something new to appear.
Mm.
So even taking a new name, which I did twice, that's a chance for a new part of you to emerge.
Yeah.
And surrender is a metaphor also for, you know, spiritual surrender. Mm-hmm. So in its ideal form, the surrender to the guru, to the teacher, is surrender to God. Not my will, but thy will be done. You know, which is fundamental to virtually all spiritual paths and religious paths. There's always been an element of surrender.
So you're not in control yourself, but you're opening up to something that you don't know yet.
Right, exactly. Something you don't know, and an energy and a force that is bigger than you.
Right, yeah.
And if we're walking around too much just with our own ideas about life, which are not always very trustworthy, coming out of our pathology, coming out of our social pathology, etc., etc., then there's no space for that new to emerge.
And during the crossing, you said we don't follow a supermarket model, because we also want to incorporate the surrendering elements to it.
Yes, exactly.
So we're taking you on a kind of a journey.
Yeah, it's an A to B journey.
People, do you want to invite? Whom could this be interesting for, this event?
I think it's anyone who's into self-development and spirituality and who cares about the world.
Yeah.
That's it, kind of.
Yeah.
I used to say anyone who's ever done yoga, ever done mindfulness, or ever done insights.
Yeah.
I mean, you need, even that, you don't really need. If someone has an intuitive voice to come, they should just come.
Yeah.
It helps if you've had that sort of self-development spiritual door.
Yeah.
Growing up or waking up doors opened a little
bit. Exactly. You've done some therapy or.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That helps. But even that, I wouldn't want it to be too rigid.
Yeah. And for me, which is very important, is that you feel like you want to be of more use. You really want to show up in the world.
Yes.
And you don't know how to do that from your own little small perspective.
Yes. So Homo Amor has to be prepared to stand up for something.
Yeah.
Exactly. Again, spirituality has become a very sort of private, protected area where it's all in the meditation room or in your circle.
Yeah, you see what I mean? The sharing of the,
but the world is crying out for it.
Yeah, you need to open it.
But not, they're not crying out for you, for us to convert them to our sort of spiritual path and methods. That's not it. It's going and, like you said, really being your unique self and your unique contribution.
Yeah,
that has a what we call a world-centric lens, that you always know, this is more than just for me and my family.
Yes, yeah.
And what would that look like if it has a broader scope? If you're going to increase the scope of your unique expression, what within your reality and your destiny What would that look like if that scope gets expanded? Well,
that's why I'm so appealed to this, because it's appealing to me because this is also the core of the work that I do in my business, is that exactly. I support people to really show up in their business, to use their unique quality in the world,
right.
to take from idealism to really practice.
Yes, and presumably you're also helping organizations to find their unique, what's the unique contribution of that organization that has a world-centric or social, some sort of social value stroke purpose, which is beyond just its own functionality.
The beauty of it is that often people really carry, or everybody carries, this unique contribution with them, but they're often not aware of it, what that exactly is, because it's so self-evident to them,
right,
so normal to them, that they need other people to mirror that. And I can imagine that this event also can help people to really wake up to their own.
Only.
Yeah.
That's going to be one of the exercises.
Yeah.
Literally.
Right.
Yes.
Well, where can people register? Where can they find more information?
Just before I say that, one more thing about that I think special about this is that where it does have a bit of a Tomorrowland feel is that we want it to be also a wow experience aesthetically, technologically. We want people to think as soon as they arrive, oh, wow, I'm part of something, a bit like in Tomorrowland. Wow, I'm part of something.
Yeah.
New, that's not a just whole not sort just
a
of
workshop with some, you know,
exactly.
It's more, it's an really experience. Yeah,
exactly. It's most spiritual events you get, the most aesthetic it gets is like there's a vase of flowers.
Yes. In the center of the room. Yeah.
I know. So, which is better than nothing.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I have a last thing. Way back, early 90s, maybe I think I said it in our previous podcast, but, you know, I was into the early rave scene.
Mm.
Early 90s, that's when electronic dance music really hit off. And it really was about love and peace. It was like a second 60s.
Mm.
And at the same time, I was doing a lot of spiritual work. And I really, when I was, you know, trance dancing to this electronic music, I really felt my chakras lighting up. You know, I created a whole form called a chakrave.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So I've always had a strong connection to that world.
Yeah.
The sort of festive music, celebration.
Yeah.
Ecstatic.
Yeah.
World. Also, you know, through psychedelics and so on.
Yeah.
So that's definitely going to be in there.
Yeah. A lot of parties.
There's the website.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the website, and there you can buy tickets on the website. There's a audio also of me.
Yeah.
Some words from Mark. I think that's the main...
Yeah. And what is the name of the website? We'll put it in the show notes. But
crossing.be.
Yeah. www.crossing.be. Yes.
That's the one.
Great.
And as you can hear, I'm super enthusiastic.
Yeah. And bring friends, I would say.
Bring friends. I really don't think there's anything quite like this out there.
Such it
is exactly the thing to bring friends to.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it can be a really deepening experience for people to go something like this with people they love. And then, because you have your own inner tribe then as well. So if you end the event, you can take that home with all of you.
But that's a really good point, Laura. We should use that. No, but you're right. Bring a little...
Your own community.
Your tribe.
Yeah.
So that you can... Yeah. Then encourage her. Our hope is that people will come out and they'll really want to encourage each other to show up.
Yes.
Challenge each other, hold each other accountable
to
their homo amor identity.
Yeah. Great.
Hey.
Well, sounds very exciting.
It is exciting.
And I love to see your excitement as well. It really it catches on.
Good. Well, as always, Laura, it's a pleasure. I've really enjoyed this talk. I can't believe how quickly the time has gone.
Right, yeah.
I hope it's like that for the listeners as well.
Exactly, I hope so too.
A big pleasure, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Elle.
Thank you, Elle. Thank you, Delaine.